Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
If you lost your way, standing in the crossroads, this is a time of decision. What are you going to do? Let's turn to Jeremiah and read from Jeremiah chapter 7. This is Jeremiah's famous temple message. He goes into the temple and he gives this solemn message to the nation.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Repentance isn't a very popular word, but Scripture teaches that without repentance, there's no salvation. So what does real repentance look like? And how do we achieve this vital change of heart? Today on The Verdict, we're discussing three fundamental aspects of authentic repentance as we continue our study in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In the book of Jeremiah, we're learning that Israel abandoned God. They forgot the living and the true God, the God who was their deliverer and their redeemer. But it was even worse. Not only had they forgotten the Lord, they had partaken of the polluted waters of the idols of the pagan nations. This was an act of spiritual adultery. And when faced with the truth, they refused to repent. Last time and again today, we're thinking of life at the crossroads from Jeremiah chapters 6, 7, and 8. We're learning about repentance. Repentance is not a popular term, even in churches. We want to feel good about ourselves rather than be convicted of our sin. But when we turn from God, it is essential that we repent. Without repentance, there is no salvation.
Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. Behold, you trust in deceptive words of no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal and go after gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you've done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, you did not answer. Therefore, I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to your fathers and to you, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I cast out all your kinsmen, all the offspring of Ephraim. Can you imagine Jeremiah, this young man, standing in the temple and declaring this very, very solemn words, calling the nation to repentance and warning them, if you do not repent, this will happen. See, without repentance, there is no salvation. There must be authentic repentance before God. And this morning I want to give three important things about authentic repentance. This is basic to the Christian life. This is basic Christianity, but it's often ignored. Authentic repentance, first of all, means an acknowledgement of our specific sins. Look back to chapter 3, Jeremiah 3, verse 13. What Jeremiah is saying to them? Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God and scattered your favors among foreigners under every green tree, and that you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Acknowledging your specific sins. See, biblical repentance is not easy, is it? Biblical repentance has the component of a deep burden about the shame and the guilt of our sin. A.W. Tozer writes, "Beware of vain and overhasty repentance. Particularly, let us beware of no repentance at all. Regret, shame, tears may all be present without authentic repentance before God. Prisons are full of people who say they're sorry. Sorry they've been caught. Sorry for themselves. Sorry for the consequences of their wrongdoing, no doubt, but often no true repentance. The Westminster Confession of Faith states that men ought not to content themselves with a general repentance, but it is every man's duty to endeavor to repent of his particular sins particularly." Do you get that? To repent of his particular sins particularly. So I ask you, what are you specifically and particularly repenting of? Don't hide behind the platitudes and generalities. Don't say, "Well, I've got a problem, I've got an issue," and say, "Well, you know, we're all sinners." Yeah, I guess I am a sinner. I mean, we're all sinners, aren't we? I mean, none of us are perfect. You ever heard this? I hear this all the time. All of that's true. Yes, we are all sinners, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your sin and mine. Don't hide behind the platitude. What does God want you to do? God wants the sin to be exposed. We have to isolate the sin. We have to name the sin. That's difficult, isn't it? We have all kinds of different words, don't we, to cover up our particular sin. We want to make it very fancy. No, we have to name the sin. Your sin wants to be left alone. Your sin wants to be kept in the secret. Your sin wants to be kept in the dark. No, we're going to bring it out. And we're going to expose it with all of its ugliness. And then we're going to say, "I am the sinner. I have committed this sin." You name the sin. That's what the Westminster Confession is saying, and saying accurately. And in authentic repentance, you don't see yourself as the victim. You take personal responsibility for your sin. Jesus gives us a wonderful picture in that amazing story of the prodigal in Luke chapter 15, where the young man is in the far country and he experienced authentic repentance. How do we know that? He says, "I've sinned against heaven and in your sight." Yes, he had sinned against his father, that is true, but he realized his sin was against heaven. He says, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." That was true. He said, "I'm quite happy now just to work for you. I wish I could, just as a hired servant." What's he doing? He's not pointing the finger at other people. I'm sure he could have pointed his finger at the father. There's no perfect fathers. He could have said, "You know, you got this farm, you worked us so hard, and you never spent the same time with me, and I really think you favored my older brother, and I always felt a bit neglected. I never felt loved. You never quite hugged me the way you hugged other people." He didn't do that. He didn't blame his older brother, who sounds a kind of nasty fellow, doesn't he? He doesn't blame him. Look at verse 13 again of chapter 3. "Only acknowledge your guilt, that you rebelled against the Lord your God." Have you done that? First, authentic repentance means an acknowledgement of your specific sin. Secondly, authentic repentance means a change of attitude and action. Authentic repentance involves change, not just what you're saying, but how you're actually behaving. And Jeremiah often uses a term, return. For example, chapter 3, verse 12. "Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return." The Hebrew word sub. Return. Faithless Israel. Israel has turned their back on God. Jeremiah is saying, you're faithless. I want you to turn from your idols, to turn to God. I want you to return. Faithless Israel, declares the Lord. Verse 22. Return, O faithless sons, return. Verse 14, return, O faithless children. That's what it is. That's action, isn't it? You're going in one direction, and I want you to come back. I want you to turn. I want you to return. The New Testament's main word for repent means a change of mind. But it's a change of mind leading to a change of action and attitude. The prodigal in Luke chapter 15, when he repented, he didn't stay in the far country. He didn't just call home, as it were, and say, Dad, I've really messed up. Please forgive me. I've spent all of your money, and I guess I've really messed up. No, he didn't stay where he was. He returned. He first came to his father and said, give me. That was the prayer of a very foolish, willful boy, wasn't it? I deserve this. It's all about me. Give me. But when he was coming back, his prayer wasn't give me. His prayer was make me as a hired servant. There is the evidence of authentic repentance. It results in a change of life. This repentance is a daily turning from our sin and a daily surrendering to the will of the Lord Jesus for this day. On October 31, 1517, Martin Luther hammered his thesis on the doors of Wittenberg Castle. The first thesis was this: when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, repent, he meant that the entire life of believers should be one of repentance. It's a whole attitude, isn't it? Where we're sensitive to our sin, and we are daily turning from our sin and daily turning once again to our Lord Jesus Christ for his mercy and his forgiveness. And can I say, the reason why you may be caught in this terrible cycle of sin, glib confession, sin again, and so on, is because you have never truly turned from your sin. You have not really seen sin as God sees it. That's why every day you get up, you get in this book, you get your eyes on Christ, because our enemy is a master at throwing these lures in front of us, doesn't he? To dazzle us. Some pleasure, some short-term enjoyment, and we grab it. And as we grab it, we realize that we've been caught, and it drags us further and further away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jeremiah is saying, return, get back. That's what I want you to do, a change of attitude and action. See, authentic repentance never leaves you where you were. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery? Yes, Jesus said, I don't condemn you, but then he said, go and sin no more. Jesus meets us at our point of need, but we do not remain there where there is authentic repentance. There is a change. There's a radical change, not just in the confession of our lips. That's easy. But a changing of our heart and our life. Our Savior is called Jesus, for he will save us from our sins. Jesus doesn't save you so that you continue to live a sinful life. Authentic repentance involves a change of attitude. Mere regret, mere sorrow will leave you where you are. Though this is going on a different path. Look at chapter 6. Authentic repentance forsakes the sin and it turns to walk on a path of our Lord, a path of righteousness. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look. You're at the crossroads, look. And ask for the ancient paths. You say, oh, well, that sounds bad. I want something new. I'm a young person. I want to experience life. I want something different. No, says Jeremiah, I want you to stand by the roads. I want you to look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. That's the good way. I want you to understand that. The lure is a bad way. That is foolishness. That is worthless. I want you to look at the good way. It's the narrow road which leads to life eternal. And walk in it and find rest for your souls. That's what we want, isn't it? Rest, satisfaction, a deep joy. Not a nervousness, not an anxiety, but rest. Isn't this what Jesus says? Come to me and I will give you rest. So Jeremiah is saying, this is a place of rest. Rest for your souls. You're at the crossroads. I want you to repent, he's saying. I don't want you to go on pursuing these idols. I want you to repent and to walk in ancient paths. So authentic repentance first means an acknowledgement of our specific sin. Secondly, it means a change of attitude and action. Thirdly, authentic repentance means asking God for forgiveness of your sins. Isn't this wonderful? Notice again, chapter 3, verse 12. Return faithless Israel, declares the Lord. Think of this. I will not look on you in anger, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your guilt that you've rebelled against the Lord your God. How wonderful. Sometimes, when we've sinned and it's affected someone else, we're very nervous, almost scared to come to the person and acknowledge that we did wrong because we're not sure of the reception. Here is the wonder of the gospel. When we come with true repentance, a turning from our sin, our understanding that by ourselves we're sinful people and we will always be sinful apart from the grace of God, that when we come to the Lord, he is merciful. Verse 22, chapter 3. Return, O faithless sons, I will heal your faithlessness. Spiritual healing. Isn't that wonderful? To be spiritually healed. This is a healing a physician can't do. No, this is the healing of the good physician, isn't it? He heals our soul. We're battered and scarred. And we're shamed and we've guilt. And the Lord is saying, oh, come to me, return to me. And when we confess our sins, let's read that in 1 John 1, well-known verses. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, that's the ancient paths. You're at the crossroads. Are you going to walk in the light or are you going to go to the darkness? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you're going to do that? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the magnificent work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Christ, who comes into our broken world. And when we come to him, he will not cast us out. God has great joy and pleasure that through the perfect work of his Son on the cross of Calvary, sinners are saved, sinners are forgiven. Those who are backslidden are restored. God loves to forgive. God's speciality is restoration. David says in Psalm 23, he restores my soul. And David knew about sin. David knew about biting that lure which had been dangled in front of him. And he bit it, and he bit it very strongly. But now he knew, as he'd experienced the mercy of God and the grace of God, he says, he restores my soul. This is the God we have. This is our blessed Savior. We were singing about it. His mercy is more. No, we are to acknowledge our guilt. We are to acknowledge our failure. We are to confess that we have sinned, and we do that particularly, not in general terms, and then we flee to our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the cross of Christ, realizing that is the only place where I can receive cleansing for my sin. No sin is so small that it doesn't need forgiveness. No sin is so great that God will not forgive you. Psalm 103, verse 12. I love this. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Infinite distance is the point. You can't measure that. So far has God removed our sins from him. Do you feel dirty with your sin? You feel that sense of shame, that sense of guilt, it's clinging to you? Just think of the wonder as you repent, as you come to Christ, as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and these sins are removed. And can I say removed permanently as far as the east is from the west? He puts them away. He forgets them. He'll never bring them before you. Such is the wonder of the power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you lost your way? Standing in the crossroads. This is a time of decision. What are you going to do? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Elijah on Mount Carmel says, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Some of you haven't made up your mind. Some of you want to stay, as it were, on both sides. And Jeremiah is saying you can't do that. You can't have all of the religiosity. You can't just have an outward confession without the reality in your heart. No. Who's it going to be? Repent and believe in the gospel. Turn from your old paths and walk, as Paul would say, in newness of life. Come to our Lord Jesus Christ, who will forgive you, will cleanse you, and make you a new person in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the wonder of salvation. May this be a time of confession, a time of repentance, a time of turning to Christ, a time of praising him as we come to him, just as we are. In his precious name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Life at the Crossroads. Be sure to keep listening because John will be back with closing remarks in just a moment. And let me remind you that all of these messages can be found anytime over on our website at theverdict.org. And when you visit our website, be sure to get your free copy of John's brand new booklet titled When a Nation Forgets God. This timely guide will help you review Scripture and unpack the powerful and relevant lessons we're learning in the book of Jeremiah. So request or download the new booklet, When a Nation Forgets God, when you visit us online at theverdict.org. We also invite you to help us continue this Bible teaching radio ministry by supporting us with a financial gift. Your generous contributions will enable us to bring the gift of God's Word to new listeners across the globe. And you can set up your donations over the phone by dialing 833-551-2231 or send your gift in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina 28226. You can also set up your donation online by visiting theverdict.org. On our website, you'll also find details for attending or live streaming our Sunday services here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. We're located in South Charlotte at the corner of Highway 51 and Ray Road. You'll find details and directions online. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's John.
Well, what's your verdict? Has there been authentic repentance by you before God? You know you need to repent. And today you're at a crossroads in your life. Which way are you going to go? Jesus taught that there's a narrow way which leads to life and a broad road which leads to destruction. I'm praying that you'll repent of your sin and look to Jesus Christ who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. We will continue next time with a fascinating subject, making scarecrows idols.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.